It really was such a privilege to interview Irene Williams at her home just outside Carmarthen. I was at the Lambeter reunion, the 200th anniversary of my alma mater, and I stopped off with the invaluable help of Anne Watkins, who I interviewed in a previous interview. So I've got two instalments of the interview that I did with Irene, and in part two, Irene talks about their time in Cardiff. Cyril, her husband, got a job there. Irene talks about how they neither had a house nor money. Irene decided to go to work. We find out what was the hardest 9 years of her life, why they didn't need a pantry, how they created a study for Cyril. We learn about Atlantic College and whether one of her sons would get a scholarship to study there. We hear in detail about his interview experience, and he got it, about the friendships there, and an unexpected occasion when her son brought his friends over to stay the night after they missed the bus. We hear about how Irene ended up in Lambeter. The journey all started in Canada and then in Aberystwyth. Cyril was charged with setting up a department of religious studies. We learn about the importance of studying more than just Christianity. Cyril managed to get a colleague down from Bangor to Aberystwyth. Cyril was able to buy more and more books. In due course, Cyril was asked if he could come to Lambeter. Irene did the garden of the home up so well that students would call it the embassy, and she made the students Welsh cowl. Then at the end of the interview, we hear about Irene's work with Amnesty International. We hear about the invitation to Japan, about her time in Cuba, and the work of the Missions of Charity. An absolute pleasure for part two of my Nostalgia Interviews podcast with Irene Williams. My name is Chris DC.
Aubrey Johnson was Cyril's tutor in Cardiff, and they got on well together. And Aubrey Johnson used Cyril to check his books. "I want you back here, but I can't appoint you. You write a CV." So he wrote him a CV. "You think you could move back here?" We knew that, but I didn't expect it, what was happening, you see. So he went up to see Audrey and came back. "Now, I told you we could move. I'm moving to Cardiff." "Oh, well, I'd made friends here then. No, going there. I'm going to work with Aubrey Johnson." So, the point was, we didn't have a house and no money. And my father said, "Well, it's a move. I'd bought a new car." So the boys were growing up. They were 6 and 11 by this time. "No, we like a car, posh car. We'll have another one," I said. And Cyril went to Cardiff to look for a house. And he came back and he bought a house. And when he bought a house and you hadn't seen it. "No," I said. "I didn't want to see it." Anyway, moved, and we had to leave Carmarthen and buy a house. And my father said, "I'll give you a deposit, 1,500, but you pay it back. I've got other girls to share as well. I'm not rich, but I don't want any interest at all." But Cyril's wages wasn't enough, you see. He was put to the lower rank. And by this time, Martin had gone to school. He'd passed his scholarship. And he said, "I don't want to go to Cardiff. I want the boy. We live next door." He was playing with the boys in school. "I'll get another school." So Cyril got Martin into Cattay's school and my Ariel into the Welsh school. the van would collect them in the morning to go to the Welsh school and bring them back in the night. But they all met in a little group. So I decided I would go out to work. That was an experience for me. And the first job I tried, I got it. But it was 3 miles away. So Cyril came home. I said, you've got to buy a car or I'll get a small one, second hand. I'm only going there for 2 months. They're moving to Cardiff. So I worked. I didn't like it. But they put me in charge of the office with 10 people. Because I was older, and the head knew about Lampeter. He'd been to college there. He was going to be a vicar, but he changed to industry. Well, I stuck it, and then they moved to Cardiff. It was easier then for me. And then his sister died. And we had to get his mother for 3 or 4 months every year. Several of the children did. But she liked coming to us because of the children. And she hardly spoke English. So she liked me. And I took her to chapel and took her to the shop. So it was quite... And I stuck it for 9 years, and that are the hardest 9 years of our life. And Cyril, bless him, he arranged all his lectures in the morning, so he'd come home about 1 o'clock, and he or I would make sandwiches for his mother, and then I'd make a good meal when I came home at 5. But I used to do shopping in my dinner time and have a sandwich. So Saturday was clear. And Martin, he went to school. And the first day, he came back with the boys. And then when he went the second day, the master asked, who's the boy like to steal an apple in Cathay's Park yesterday? I did, Sir Martin. I wasn't stealing it. It was there. And they had a good laugh. The maths master was my Sunday school teacher. And she said, we had a laugh. I told them, that boy... I just moved from Carmarthen with a garden full of apples. He used to give apples to everyone. But this was Cardiff. We had to give him a cane. I made history, he said. No one had a cane second day in school. I was a hero. Don't you do it again. He was very... forward. Anyhow, we moved to Cardiff and I worked. After I started Christian Aid in Cardiff, I had a women's committee there, all sorts of things. And the minister's wife couldn't drive, so I had to take her everywhere. At first week, I wasn't sure of Cardiff, but the youngest. Oh, he loved the car. No, he goes this way, Mum. Not that way, this way. And then it came time after. So we worked our way. We did all right. And we had paid my father except 100. I said, you'll have that again. My money went to pay for the house and Cyril's money to run the house. And then We didn't need a pantry. We knocked a wall down. My cousin did it. And make two small rooms, one big one. So then we could afford Sir the study of his own for his books. And he bought bookcases. So he had his own study. And when he wanted to, he had to tell Martin off once or twice. He took him in there. You're not to do that. He wanted a paper. No. Please, the other boys have a paper. So he had, it lasted 3 weeks. Oh, that's hard, he said, getting up in the morning. I told you. And his master told me on Sunday, he's having a paper. He waits. It lasts 2 or 3 weeks. But he'll have it out of his system. And then Cyril was asked as a deputation to see what Atlantic College was like. And he came home. Oh, he said, that's a college. If we could afford, Martin could go there. To people from all over the world. And that's a dream. You stick to a chase. But indeed, well, Martin, he did his O-levels in Cateys. And first year A-level. And the Welsh master there was a friend of ours. He said, Martin is doing well. He's going to be in, he's doing his A-level well. But Cardiff City offered a scholarship to one promising person, Cyril Hurd. Martin, do you want to try? Oh, I can try. Yes, I can try. I'll come with you. Where is it? In the city hall with the councillors and the mayor. Oh, I'll try. I'll come with you then. No, I'm having him too, not you. He was that type of boy, you see. Off he went. But when he got down there, he was sorry. They all had an elder brother or a mother or father or grandmother, and I was on my own there. And the last to go in. So I got in. And your name? Martin Williams, and you want doing A-level? Hopefully. What's your aim in life? Well, one thing, I want to play rugby for Wales. For Wales? Yeah. I love it. And I want to do it for my country. And they asked me lots of questions. Why did my father? I told him not to come. You're interviewing me, not them. And then I said, is this going to last a long time? Why, they said. Well, there's a bus coming and they're going to pick me up. I'm going with them. I'm in their choir. And we're going to sing in the Nationalist Eisteddfod. And we hope to win. And I'm one of the best. Oh. And you're going there. Well, they promised. I told them I'd be down here. And they're coming around here. I don't think they'll go without me. But it's time. All right, we'll let you know. So he went to the bus. He'd taken his case with him, you see. Not much. He phoned us from St. Grannog. I've got the scholarship. I going there in September. He didn't have time to come home to tell us. So that September, and the Welsh master was mad with us. It was Elbert Thomas. And so I said, don't you worry. Martin will put Wales on the map. He's a strong Welshman. So he left us to do his last year in Atlantic College. But then, although he lived in Cardiff, he wasn't come home. Oh, so he wrote us a letter. I'm in prison, yeah, but they're lovely boys. They're lovely boys. I like it. And I've got to do duties. I think I like it. They're very nice. So we went out to see him on certain days. But soon, Martin had made great friends. And about five or six of them, they had a free afternoon on Wednesday. They were allowed to do anything on the campus on Wednesday. No lessons, no sport, nothing. Do what they. So they wanted to see what was a soccer like. Well, if you come with me, I'll take you, I'll show you. Because they didn't know rugby, soccer. And they enjoyed it so much. When they got to the bus station, the last one had gone. Oh, we can't walk, what should we do? Don't worry, Sir Martin. I'll take you home. You can walk to my home, it's not far. And he arrived with his boys. Mum, can we stay the night and go back in the morning? What do you mean? We've lost the bus. He weren't supposed to come. No, I know. But if we go back in the morning, they won't know, will she? So, I made him a meal. I don't know what happened. I think they played cards or things. I didn't have beds for them all. Anyhow, there was an early bus. So I made the breakfast. I'll come back this afternoon, said Martin. I come back this afternoon. You go back now. I'll report that you're back. But they'd already been missed, you see. They were the church, their guardians. Lots of the children from rich people. They didn't want them with them. Other, very mixed. They're good to me, you see. They send loads of fruit and things that they don't want, and they give them to me. Anyhow, the boys were questioned. Where have they been? They weren't in the college when they were checked. No, we went and we masked the bus. And Martin took us home. That's a story. Where is he? He's coming back later. Now, he'll be punished. Next thing, I had a phone call. Mrs. Williams, this is the guardian of the college. These boys say they spend the night in your house. Well, I said they did. They spend the night and their breakfast before coming back. It's true. Yes. They went around. Is Martin coming back? Well, he stayed home. He's coming back. He's gone now. So Martin arrived. He had been called up to the head office. He'd broken the law. I just went home. But these boys say they spend the night in your house. They did. They spend the night your mother and father put them up. Yes. And they're welcome and food. So he's telling you the truth then. Well, I hope so, I said. He'd been brought up to tell the truth. Yes, they said, yeah. And they're lovely. Amen.
Oh, my word. I have to say, I don't know how you do it, Irene. You have this incredibly forensic memory. You can just remember all these events from all those decades ago as if it happened yesterday. But, of course, I associate you with the many years that you lived in Lampeter. Do you want to say a little bit about how you ended up living in Lampeter?
We first came to Lampeter. We went to Canada and I wanted to come on. But Surrey was invited to Aberystwyth. The head then was Sir Gurunui Daniel. And they were celebrating, I think, 100 years. And they wanted to do something. And they wanted to open a wing of religious studies. And you were the very man. Oh, all right. I'll think about that. So when you told them, oh, don't go, we need you. Because after he was there 2 months, they made him head. There was no one like him in Canada specialised in the subject. So we did come back. But when we arrived, suddenly there was no department and no room. No, we want you to start the department. Well, you didn't tell me that. And there is no room yet. You've got to share. So I met Gurunui Daniel afterwards. You were wrong, I said. We had a lovely department and came back. That's the point, he said. We had a hard time there because they didn't want religious studies. They had their own. They had Christianity. But so I told them, Christianity is just one religion. The Muslims, I name, because he's written his book, you see. And no one argued with him, but Bobby Jones was a great scholar. So he went out and he followed a man, Martin O'Jones, who had second birth, Pentecostal, and another one. So after they didn't know, so he had 2 years leave. If you want to come back, you come. By that time, Martin had had his 4 years and he was coming back to Wales. Oh, we'll stick it. But he went to one meeting and said, he challenged him and he said, if I don't get any help, I'm quitting. And that's it, my last word. And that by one vote, that he could have one help. One. So he came home and said, he told me we were back. But he rang the banger and asked, Isling Blythe answered, have you any students doing their degree this year? Not really, he said. I want someone to the Jewish. Why don't you ask me? He said, I'm fed up here. "You, I'll come," he said. And he came to Aberystwyth. "The one thing," he said, "I'm not moving here. I go to Diggs because my children are all in school and I know what they're doing. And my wife will be there, Marian." And he came and he stayed for 3 days and then went back home. But along the way, he had lovely digs and he said, I'll do 4 days and then I'll take Friday off, Saturday and Sunday, back on Monday. But then, and it was like that, and then they asked Cyril, after we'd been in Aberystwyth, the department came to 68, and GP Paul Badram and Peter Morris came to Regaron. "Will you consider coming to Lampeter and open a department?" Paul has done more Judaism, but it's not his field. So Cyril had 25 years experience. "I'll willingly come, not until the end of the term. I've got 3 graduating. And the others can come with me to Lampeter. They don't deserve us, yeah. They knew we were here." So, and the only thing I can say, we'll sell the house. "You don't have to sell," said GP. "You're near enough. If I'm coming, I want to be with my people and see them." So we bought a house in Lampeter, and the man that owned it, the first time I heard Armstrong, and I thought he meant strong. What he meant, he had money, he could afford to wait for the money. So my son then, younger son, was a solicitor, Julia. So it was like an explosion. I think GP had been advertising, you see. They came from everywhere. New staff everywhere. I had to get new help. It exploded. And at last, the people bought the house, so we were able to pay for the house. But we had to spend a lot of money on it, but there, we were happy. And as his luck happened, I was a good cook. Cyril said, "We don't want to go out to eat. You make a better dinner, so I can buy books." And he bought books and books. And I turned the garden, I'd help Morris Jones into a beautiful garden. So the students enjoyed coming out just to the garden because they were in flats everywhere. And I always was, without my knowing, they called it the embassy. They all came and we had stories for them. And some of them didn't have much money. And I made them what we called was cowl. And they all knew if you had cowl for a reen, you'd be right for the day. And then I started making a saucepanful for them. And no wonder, you see, they came. All the other staff were in flats. And Paul Badram lived in Aberaeron and his work for full time. While I was doing Amnesty International, David Coburn's wife, Maureen, and James helped. But they all knew that we were Welsh-speaking and that we were in a Welsh chapel, which we attended every Sunday. But there's no link between college and chapel, you see. We live two different lives, but there's no trouble having staff. It was a quiet place, a small college, plenty of walks. Cyril had disrupted my ideas of going to college. He wanted help. So now, he said, travelling is better than anything. So I used to go with the United Nations. I knew I went to China and I went to Guyana, but Matsunaga used to come to Lampeter and used to come to our house. And he said, you've got to come to Japan to talk to them. So, well, as a matter of fact, we're going to find something about in South Korea, but they're just over to Japan. So that was arranged. But we went to, first of all, and we found out a lot of things. They hadn't been telling the truth. They'd be cheating. So Cyril was going to tell them off on our return. So we went then to Japan. And Matsunaga, we were in a hotel. They said, we're collecting you. You speak at a certain time in the centre. Right, so that's it. But when we went there's a big round table and people with cameras and recorders. And they're all there to say, who are you representing? Who are you representing? Who are you? I went all round them. And then it said, and Mrs. Irene Williams, his wife. But there was one young girl there. Why are you here? Oh, I know them. I used to go there at home and have food with them. She was an Erasmus student. Erasmus, I forgot her name. We had some of Italy and Japan. And Matsunaga said, all over now, there'd be 20,000 listening. So, it's a new subject. Buddhism in different ways. He spoke about Timothy Richard, who had spent his life in China, and understand Buddhism as well as the Buddhism, and spoke to them. And he knew exactly where he'd been brought up, in a farm, a very brave man, one of the greatest men he knew. And it went quite well. But now, he said, the dinner's tonight, you know, Rona. Not a big one, just the staff. But we went back to the hotel. And Sarah said, I don't think I can go to the dinner. I'd rather stay here. Because, you know, we're meeting the other one tomorrow. She's taking us around. Ring them. And tell them that I'm very tired. Would you excuse me for dinner? But it wasn't that, just something else. I rang up and asked for a room meal and stayed. And he slept all night as good as day in the morning. So we went out, and the other one, a friend Richard, had took us around. Indeed, we didn't buy much. But then Takeshi, we promised to take him to a Welsh woman. And Takeshi had been in Lampen to improve his English. But he felt Welsh. And he learned to be a very Welsh speaker. And he was come over. And we joined the choir in the church. And Tim Morgan has told me, I'm welcome. So going, one day, you'll come to Japan. I don't think so. Not then. But when we went, Takeshi was there to welcome us. Now, I want you to take me to this Welsh woman. And Sir Lisa, on the fast train, Takeshi didn't stop talking. He wanted to know what you were there. I missed the station. Don't worry, get out. We're back on the other one. I went back. And we got to the house. And we knew, we never met her, but we knew her brother, you see. She got married, and on her honeymoon, married this Japanese and lived very happy. Had five children. But in the house, Takeshi saw all these videos, everything. Oh, well, can I come again? And she told him, join the Dewi San Society. A Dewi San Society in Japan. Yeah. We need members. He'll meet a few. Well, he enjoyed himself. And he said, thank God you took her there. It changed my life. Well, sometime, I don't know how many years ago, he came to Lampeter and something he wanted to see someone. I rang him to give David Fawn's phone, but I got the phone, but there's an answer. And I rang them again and said, why were you there? Takeshi wanted to call you. Where is he? Oh, I don't know now, he's gone somewhere. He'll call again with you when he comes. And that was that. Well then, David somehow found his email. And they told him where they were, and I come again. But then, the World Cup to Japan. The World Cup in Japan. And Takeshi, the BBC got hold of him. He was on every day. And he wrote me a letter. Jewish, things have changed. I'm not the little one you knew coming over on a foot. I'm a professor in the university in Tokyo. I'm married with four children, but I don't live in Tokyo. I look after my mother on the rice fields. She's old and I'm able to help her. I travel in every day. Life has changed us a lot. I'm enjoying now. I've got several Welsh friends in here. And he sent me a letter. Oh, it was nice knowing him. And I don't know anything about him now.
Do you know, I was just thinking, Irene, you've had the most fun.
And then from there, I went to Cuba. They told the BBC had told me that secretly there were Michelin nurses by the Mother Teresa. That's wrong. They were bringing food without them knowing to Cuba. Across from, would it be, I thought they were coming in small ships and boats to bring to their warehouse. If you go, try and find that warehouse. That's the story. So we were a group of people, but there was one, the first ship abroad. She wanted to go for another reason, but her husband told her, you keep Sean with you. And one day, the group were all going out for big English dinner. So I told Sean, you take a sandwich, an apple or something with you, or a banana, and we'll go a taxi and look. Where is it? Well, we don't know. But there's a big warehouse, and it must be near the sea. Well, we don't know where he wants to go. But we went and went. Now, and they went somewhere. It can't be best further than this. We must have passed it. And then, all of a sudden, I saw it. Missions of Charity. This is it, that's it. Oh, this is where he wants to go. Yes. We went there, and there was a man. We've heard about you. I'm from America. No, from Britain. Oh, come in. They've all gone today. They've gone. What he meant, the people that were bringing the food, are bringing all sorts of things. And we stayed there for about an hour and a half to us. And we went and we'd eaten our bread and bank. And he said, can I make you a cup of coffee? No, thank you, we're all right now. And he said, you've no idea, he said. You've been company to me and you kept me talking. And my wife was having a major hospital during that time. Thank you. I was worrying I'd be on my own. So we went back to the hotel and they arrived back. And where have you two been? And we told them. You found them? Yes, we found them. We were going to do that tomorrow. We've been today. And we've seen them. And we've heard all the story.
Well, what's that expression? Don't put off until
so
tomorrow.
The following day, we took a taxi. And we went to the place where Emily's Hemingway.
Ernest Hemingway.
In his pink chair. And Sean wanted to go to see a lady. She had a book for her. So heaven just, you two, you're not going on your own again. Well, he came with us. So we went a block of flats, huge block of flats. We had the address up there. And we knocked at the door, and she said, oh, come in, come in, come in. Yeah, he used to say, I don't know what the direction was, but she was glad to have the book in here. And then we didn't stay long, and we went and back to the, when we were down, we're up about 8 floors to 6 floors. lift was stopping. The man came in and he was breathing. Oh, so we go down there, said Evan, I told you. But we found out later it was a family quarrel. And then in the hotel there was a woman and we could see her going down past our window with a pint bottle of milk. So one day, Charlotte, let's see where she's going. And I said, we've been warned, you see, not to bring lots of clothes, to bring pencils and rulers and soap and something. Anyway, and we were all to put it all together when we arrived. But we kept some. And we followed this woman. And then she turned in. And she turned round. And you give her, no, just for a walk. Oh, come in. This is my home. And my husband and father meet them. So we didn't say long. And I asked Sian in Welsh, have you got soap in a bag? So, and I had soap. So we came, oh, without saying a word. The man got up, went out. I presume he went to his garden and brought us back 2 oranges. That's all we have. Oh, and soap. Oh, thank you. They were so happy. So we're moving on from there. Sian was fond of singing. And in the group, there was an Australian who was working on the BBC. And little boys over there, he said, I record you. He was able to do something. To record and sound singing to them. Well, songs. Oh, and they were happy. And they were happy. The problem were, I think the best people morning were looking after the toilets. If you wanted the toilet, you had to tell them. And they gave you a piece of paper. I didn't want the paper. But you had to give them up. They're making good money. Yeah. And then we went to a walk. You see, I was used to travelling. I'm coming too. And there was a man there sitting down. And he heard us on. Now, Sian was always singing. And he said, you're Welsh people. And as soon as he found out that, he kept going away from us. And we didn't see him then. And then, on the flight home, he was on the same aeroplane as us. But he kept away from us. I think he had deserted us somewhere. He knew. He didn't want us to find out who he was. And we never did. As Charles said, that's the best trip of my life. And they took us to see the hospital. They asked me to go on BBC Wales or something. Tell us what the hospitals were like. Well, I think that the chief of Carmarthen, I didn't know he was outside listening. Should take an example for them. It has been wonderful, but things are breaking down now because Russia stopped helping them. They were sending, they had about 7 floors to the hospital. Different floors for everything. They'd been very, very modern in their ways. They weren't having help now. I don't know what was happening, but they stopped giving them help anyhow.
Do you know, Irene, you have this razor-sharp memory. You have said more in the last 2 hours, I think. I've never got this much information out of anybody I've interviewed. Thank you so much for agreeing to be interviewed by me today.